We now go to God's Word to hear Him speak from Judges chapter 19. So would you turn with me there to Judges chapter 19. Judges chapter 19. We'll be reading verses 1 through 30. Judges 19, starting in verse 1. This is the Word of the living God who is holy. Now it came about in those days when there was no king in Israel, that there was a certain Levite staying in the remote part of the hill country of Ephraim who took a concubine for himself from Bethlehem in Judah. But his concubine played the harlot against him, and she went away from him to her father's house in Bethlehem in Judah, and was there for a period of 4 months. Then her husband arose and went after her to speak tenderly to her in order to bring her back, taking with him his servant and a pair of donkeys. So she brought him into her father's house, and when the girl's father saw him, he was glad to meet him. His father-in-law, the girl's father, detained him, and he remained with him 3 days, so he ate and drank and lodged there. Now on the fourth day they got up early in the morning, prepared to go, and the girl's father said to his son-in-law, "Sustain yourself with a piece of bread, and afterward you may go." So both of them sat down and ate and drank together, and the girl's father said to the man, "Please be willing to spend the night and let your heart be merry." And the man arose to go, but his father-in-law urged him so that he spent the night there again. On the fifth day he arose to go early in the morning, and the girl's father said, "Please sustain yourself and wait until afternoon." So both of them ate. And the man arose to go along with his concubine and servant, his father-in-law. The girl's father said to him, "Behold, now the day has drawn to a close. Please spend the night, and lo, the day is coming to an end. Spend the night here, that your heart may be merry. And tomorrow you may arise early for your journey, so that you may go home." But the man was not willing to spend the night. So he arose and departed, and came to a place opposite Jebus, that is Jerusalem. And there were with him a pair of saddled donkeys. His concubine also was with him. When they were near Jebus, the day was almost gone, and the servant said to his master, "Please come and let us turn aside into this city of the Jebusites and spend the night in it." However, his master said to him, "We will not turn aside into the city of foreigners who are not of the sons of Israel, but we will go on as far as Gibeah." And he said to his servant, "Come and let us approach one of these places, and we will spend the night in Gibeah or Ramah." So they passed along and went their way, and the sun set on them near Gibeah, which belongs to Benjamin. They turned aside there in order to enter and lodge in Gibeah. When they entered, they sat down in the open square of the city, for no one took them into his house to spend the night. And behold, an old man was coming out of the field from his work at evening. Now the man was from the hill country of Ephraim, and he was staying in Gibeah, but the men of the place were Benjamites. And he lifted up his eyes and saw the traveler in the open square of the city. And the old man said, "Where are you going and where do you come from?" He said to him, "We are passing Bethlehem in Judah to the remote part of the hill country of Ephraim, for I am from there, and I went to Bethlehem in Judah. But I am now going to my house, and no man will take me into his house. If there is both straw and fodder for our donkeys, and also bread and wine for me, your maidservant, and your young man who is with your servants, there is no lack of anything." The old man said, "Peace to you. Only let me take care of all your needs. However, do not spend the night in the open square." So he took him into his house and gave the donkeys fodder, and they washed their feet and ate and drank. While they were celebrating, behold, the men of the city, certain worthless fellows, surrounded the house, pounding the door. And they spoke to the owner of the house, the old man, saying, "Bring out the man who came into your house, that we may have relations with him." Then the man, the owner of the house, went out to them and said to them, "No, my fellows, please do not act so wickedly. Since this man has come into my house, do not commit this act of folly. Here is my virgin daughter and his concubine. Please let me bring them out, that you may ravish them and do to them whatever you wish. But do not commit such an act of folly against this man." But the men would not listen to him, so the man seized his concubine and brought her out to them, and they raped her and abused her all night until morning, then let her go at the approach of dawn. As the day began to dawn, The woman came and fell down at the doorway of the man's house where her master was until full daylight. When her master arose in the morning and opened the doors of the house and went out to go on his way, there, then behold, his concubine was lying at the doorway of the house with her hands on the threshold. He said to her, "Go, get up and let us go." But there was no answer. Then he placed her on the donkey, and the man arose and went to his home. When he entered his house, he took a knife and laid hold of his concubine and cut her in 12 pieces, limb by limb, and sent her throughout the territory of Israel. All who saw it said, "Nothing like this has ever happened or been seen from the day when the sons of Israel came up from the land of Egypt to this day. Consider it, take counsel, and speak up." Thus far in God's word this evening, we kind of end in the middle of the story. The story ends at the end of chapter 21, but we can take this section and look at it, and then in the following weeks look at the other chapters, what goes on there. Remember, in the closing chapters of Judges, we're seeing the depravity of Israel. Chapters 19 through 21 here, showing Israel's depravity, which leads to the destruction of other Israelites. Not their enemies, not of enemies coming in and killing them, but of themselves. They're killing off themselves. Chapter 19 shows us a scene of contrast, and yet also has one similarity with Genesis 19. Genesis 19, we have the situation with Lot, who was hospitable to two visitors, who we learn there in Genesis 19 were angels, and a mob eager for homosexual relations, like we have here in Judges 19, with the visitors surrounds his house. Lot counters by offering his two virgin daughters to the crowd, and here the Genesis 19, the visitors, the angels, rescue them and strike that mob with a blindness, so that they were basically useless. In Judges 19, however, we see contrast with people who are hospitable, and yet contrast with people who are not. Judges 19, there is no one to deliver these women. If we were comparing to Genesis 9, there's no one to deliver these women from the depravity of the Benjaminites. What the writer wants you to remember is Genesis 19. He wants you to remember that. That's why it's such a clear similarity between the two, and yet the same situation, but a different outcome. It is the Sodomite kind of connection, the depravity of the people, but in other words, Gibeah here in Judges 19 is the new Sodom. The writer is accusing the people of God. He's saying to the people, "You are depraved. Look at yourselves. Look at these Benjaminites. And don't you feel for this concubine of the Levite who was ravaged all night? We should feel compassion for her. Why was she even let out there? Why did the man of the house who was supposed to be hospitable even allow her to go out and in some ways push her out?" But remember how this all started. At the beginning of the chapter, it's because she played the harlot. It was her depravity that, in some sense, started all this. And she went down to Bethlehem, and now they're on their way back, and this is what happened. The Levite is shown also as a depraved man. He's a coward, as we think of how he dealt with his concubine. He's a coward, and he's calloused. She's dead, or almost dead. It doesn't say what she is, but she's dead or almost dead. She can't stand up. And look how he speaks to her. "Get up and let us go." No compassion. It's callous to her. It leads to the cutting up and dividing up of her body in 12 pieces and sending it out. That too, probably, we know is depraved action. People respond then, the people of Israel respond with how truly depraved they have become. "Nothing like this has ever happened or been seen in our history. And nothing like a cutting up of a body, nothing like the men who did this in the land of Israel after we had come into this land. Nothing like this has happened." Hosea, you remember Hosea the prophet and how he speaks about the men of Gibeah. He does it twice. there in Hosea, it says in one place, they have deeply corrupted themselves as in the days of Gibeah. And He will, the Lord will remember their iniquity. He will punish their sins. And so now the question might come, why verse 1? Again, we see that the third time we see that there is no king in Israel. There is no king in Israel. It is precisely why chapter 19 is here, to show us the need of Israel that they have for a king to reign over them, to rule over them. And specifically, desperately, they need a godly king. And more, even more desperately, they need Yahweh to be their king, to rule over them. And almost, we think about this, every character in the story is shown, almost every character, is shown as wicked and depraved. The Levite, the concubine, the men of Gibeah, the man who was supposed to be hospitable in the land, in Gibeah, who sent out the women to the worthless men. And at the end of Judges, this is the climax of Judges because it's going to lead us into Samuel. Samuel is actually the next book in the Bible, in the Hebrew Bible. And so it's leading to that. It's leading to the shown a need of a king. And here is the book of Judges in its climax, basically flashing like a sign. Here is your depravity. Here is your depravity. Why are you depraved? Because there is no king ruling over your hearts. And so we need, if we think, how do we apply this to us? We need a king to rule over us. We need Jesus to be the one who reigns in our hearts. And we need the Holy Spirit. We need His Word each day to reign in our hearts. And so let us pray and ask Him for that now as we continue in our worship. Father, we come to You seeking what it appears Israel did not have. Or at least they did not acknowledge it. They did not want it. They did not want You as king to rule over their hearts. They did not want to follow Your Word, Your statutes, Your ordinances. They did not want to follow. They wanted to do what was right in their own eyes. And so we see how that ended up. And their depravity and how they do these gross and hideous things. Father, that is what we will become if we do not have You as our King. And if You do not reign in our hearts, that is what we will be. And so we pray that You would reign in our hearts even more so than You have before, if that's possible. That You would be the center of our lives, that we would bow down upon to You and no other. That we would not bow and worship ourselves or our own pleasures, but that we would follow Your ordinances and Your statutes. Now, Father, You are a holy God. You demand, even in the little tiny things, perfection. Exactly, you demand of us exactly what You command us to do. Even when we look at some of these commands that we have throughout Scripture and we just don't understand what the purpose is of it. Why these little tiny commands which seem to make no difference at all. And yet, You are showing us how holy You are and what it means to be holy and righteous and what it means to submit to the King. And we pray that we would do so. We pray that You would strengthen us by the Holy Spirit to do these things, to follow Your Word and to be active listeners. As we worship this evening, as we go from here, we have family worship or private worship. Father, even in our day-to-day responsibilities, duties, our job, our work that we do, we pray that You would give us that Word which wells up from our heart, that law written on our hearts, that we would remember who rules us and that we would not forget. Lord, if we do need discipline in this area, if we are not trusting in You, if we're not submitting to the King, Jesus Christ, then we pray that You would do so in mercy and in grace and train us, rebuke us, correct us, that we would worship You and glorify You in all things and bow at your footstool. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.